Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with your presence. Thank you for last night as well, when you were among us in the prayer meeting, and Wednesday for the studies. Well, all week long. We seem to be doing something every night. Thank you for letting us have church today, because earlier the internet was down for at least an hour. But everything works out now, and hopefully we'll make it through the study and the church service. And thank you for blessing everyone in attendance, as well as all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And even those brothers and sisters that, as prophecy predicts, were pulled away from the truth. We pray that they repent and come back and are once again blessed in your presence. And we also thank you for the long-suffering that you have for us, and blessing us all with forgiveness, so that we can have the latter rain upon us and go forth and do as your prophecy says your people will do in these last days. And thank you again for blessing us with a way to pray. And this prayer is offered to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. And my chair got away from me. I pushed it and it went way behind me. Usually it only goes a couple of inches, but this time it was a couple of feet. Sabbath blessings, everyone. And Sabbath blessings to the new people that have arrived and got texting ability. And those new people on the bottom there, Jake, Lucas, Reese, and Ruben, Sabbath blessings to you too. I don't know who the new people are that got the texting, because there's just too many people in this room to try to figure out who's new and who's not. I remember Dwayne. Okay, that one I remember. So, if you'd like texting ability, just send me an email, and as soon as I get to the emails, I'll send you a notification that your texting ability is restored if you're an old friend, because we had some issues a few weeks ago, so we got different security now. And so then you'll have, even if you've registered and been in this chat room many times before, everybody lost texting ability. So, and then, of course, the brand new people have no texting ability. And we will turn it on for you if you just ask. So, send an email. Okay. And if you're new, just scroll underneath the chat room to see where the questions are that we're going to be going through right now. We're on question number 17 in study 23, the study, of course, being the sign of loyalty. And so question number 17 is, what is to be sealed among God's people? In Isaiah 8, verse 16 says, thank you again, Brother Gorin. It says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And this is yet another passage Sunday keepers and those claiming the abolishment of the Ten Commandment law cannot get around. Yeah, they try to mix it up with Colossians chapter 2 and try to declare that the law being spoken of there is actually the Ten Commandments, when in fact it's not. It even goes into detail and talks about, you know, new moons, eat meat and drink offerings, and so there is no such thing in the Ten Commandments, but there is that in the ordinances written down by hand and placed in a leather pouch on the outside of the ark by Moses. Those were going to be in force until Shiloh or Messiah came. So, but anyway, as is obvious, the obedient people of God will receive the seal of the living Creator God just prior to the close of probation on the planet. But if you have been to this site before and have seen certain pages on my site, you know that probation has already closed in our day on the churches, but not on the people. Soon it's going to be closed on every disobedient soul in those churches. And this is why Revelation 18 was written. The corporate churches, the corporate bodies, or as they're called today, government agencies in America, because they all have 501c3 status, those aren't considered churches by the Lord thy God. They are not Christian churches in any way, shape, or form. A Christian church would never join with the secular government. Prophecy says the whore of Babylon will convince the lost to do that in the last days. Yeah, but the real church will never do that. And so all of them are doing that, and so probation has closed on those churches. We don't know the exact date it closed. We just know by the fruits and the prophetic fulfillments that it has closed. So if you are in those churches as a viable member, when the eastern sky splits, or better yet, when the plagues begin, you will never gain heaven. And what I mean by viable member is if you don't ask to have your membership removed and leave that church, yeah, you'll be considered in that church. It's all understood that, because I've done this, some of you have done this, and we've got nothing but dead air from the people we've done this with. And what I'm talking about is, because people have emailed me, says, I tried to leave my church. I have not gone to that church for years. Well, that right there is just a statement alone stating you did actually leave the church, the Lord knows. But it's also good to contact them. You don't necessarily have to, I would think, but it's probably a good idea to contact them because it would help them. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, theology included, of course, that they would realize that they are ashamed and they should repent because a real Christian is leaving their number. And 50% of the time this happens, they won't remove your name. I mean, the Catholic Church is infamous for this. They say they've got 1.2 billion members in their church, and I would think less than 1 million are actually considered devout, that go to church every day of Holy Day of Obligation. And then, like I was before I left the Catholic Church, they were considered really devout to where they went to Mass every morning, and I would think there's less than 100,000 of those on the planet. But they're not Christians anyway, because their devotion is based on Catholicism. But if they don't know that, the Lord's not going to judge them by things they don't know. But when the loud cry goes forth, the latter rain falls, of course, we go forth and proclaim the church, the truth to the churches that have fallen. They're going to have no mistake in their mind what we're saying is true. They're going to have to make a decision whether they're going to obey the Lord or obey man. Because at that point, the obedience to man requires that they will require will be, if you obey us, we'll let you buy and sell. And then later on, after a large portion of the weak Christians were weeded out, because and they're going to get weeded out. I mean, look at all the signs around us now. There's people leaving the churches, the real church, now for some of the strangest things, fanaticism. Those kind of people, there's no way they would give their life to Christ. Like when a guillotine's in the same room with them. They would choose life over death. You know, if they can't handle the weak, trivial temptations that pull people out of the church. That's why I made that video years ago about, I don't even remember the title of it, but it had to do with people that are sitting in the church that know that their church is in apostasy, and they choose to stay in there anyway for business connections or because their friends, relatives, or maybe their future spouse is sitting in the pew next to them or whatever the case may be. But so probation has closed on the churches. Revelation 18 is pretty apparent now, telling people, you know, the fourth angel's message is very loud now. But soon it's going to close, like I say, on every single soul. And not for a lack of trying, though. I mean, for the Lord will have done all he can by this time to assure that they had every chance to repent. I mean, look what he went as far as he could go to help Judas. I mean, Judas even partook of the Last Supper. Jesus did everything he could to try to get Judas to repent. But as we know, the sign or seal of our God is revealed in the observance of the seventh day Sabbath. Because that's the particular law that the enemy of souls seems to be focusing on. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, it was commandment number 1 and 2. Daniel's day, same thing. And in Esther's day, it was commandment number 2 only. But in our day, it's commandment number 4. I mean, he could have picked any one of the commandments, and that's the one that the people of the world would be tested on. Happens to be the Sabbath. And it's obvious with the prophetic nuances surrounding it. I mean, just look at commandment number 4 on its own. It's the only commandment in all 10 that actually has a prophetic statement in it, and it's only a one-word prophetic statement. Exodus chapter 8 verses, Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 to 11 starts with the word remember. Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Sean. And so, the Lord knew we would be taught to forget it. Then you also see what goes down in the book of Daniel, where he predicts that the beast would think to change times and laws. And so, but the thing is, this is the Lord's memorial of creation. And this is why evolution is so popular today, or flat earth theology, or any of these other things that pull people away from Christ and make the Bible look less important. And evolution made it possible. Well, I go into a little bit of detail about this on the new page I put on the site a couple days ago in regards to this stuff. There's always these crafty little methods that the devil uses to get people to think that the Bible is not as trustworthy in some areas, and so that other fanaticisms like Sunday Sabbath or any other strange theology that's out there is easier to embrace, because once you agree with one lie, the bigger lies get easier to believe. And it's a really sad thing to witness sometimes, you know, especially if someone has been ensconced in lies their whole life, and then when truth is presented, the lie is so much more comfortable that the truth looks like a boat rocker, where it's going to cause life to be more difficult. And it will, if they so desire. So, but this thing with the Sabbath, it being the Lord's memorial of creation, this is why most refuse to keep his law, because in so doing, they have to admit he not only created them, he requires obedience if they seek citizenship in his eternal kingdom. But that's, okay, that's the other toss of the coin, though. I mean, the main thing that they have issue with is the obedient part. Oh, they want to go to heaven. They want to be called Christians. Oh, yeah. But they're going to read the Bible the way they want. They're going to walk the way they want. Just like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 predicted the people would do in this day. They're going to be all about what's in it for us. How much fun can we have? Can we sin and still get to heaven? Yeah, Catholicism teaches that. You could be saved in your sins in Catholicism. And now all the other churches, of course, are teaching the same thing, because it's all big one happy church now. The New World Order, or the One World Church, rather, started June 26, 2000. And all the churches have agreed that the Pope is the moral leader of it. And that includes the Ninth Hour Church. They are actually doing the bookwork for him, for the donations that come into the One World, the National Council of Churches. I believe in America they've got that, but I don't know about the global one. But anyway, that's bad enough. Going on, as we all know, the mark of the beast is the exact opposite of keeping God's law. It's to keep the laws that are invented by man. Instead, it is the observance of the first day of the week, or Sunday keeping as we call it now, which was invented by the man of sin, and therefore keeping it in obedience to him, or to man over the creator of man, is what the devil's going for here. It's just like Mordecai bowing before Haman. He couldn't do it. Haman wanted it. Mordecai wouldn't do it. But this thing with them seeking the obedience of man over the creator, I mean, that too was prophesied. In Romans chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, it says that they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And what is the end result of denying God for the worship of man? Well, the passage goes on to say, for this cause God gave them up to their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of that error which was meet. And here's the interesting thing here. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And this is why I'm doing that series. I'm starting it up again next week in regards to some doctrines out there that people believe are true, which means the Bible, how it defines them, is a lie. Well, Sunday keeping is right up there on the top of the list. There isn't, as a matter of fact, the Catholic Church that invented the Sunday Sabbath states in their little book, Rome's Challenge to Protestants, that they invented it. They even state in writing there is no Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation, and there isn't, that says we should be keeping Sunday holy, or that God changed the seventh day Sabbath to the first day of the week. There isn't a single Bible verse. The prophecy also says the entire world will wonder after the beast, right? So they're all doing it. They're all believing Sunday's the Sabbath. They have changed the truth of God into a lie. And this is one of the reasons that 98% of the Roman Catholic priesthood is homosexual. And this we got documentation on a couple of years ago. And that's just the end result that this prophecy says in Romans chapter 1 for their changing the Sabbath or making that which God spoke out to be a lie. And that's it's just, I mean, you can't get around Christian prophecy. So, when you worship mankind, you will then bow to him in all sorts of perverted manners only because the demon in the flesh demands it. And because, like I said earlier, when lie becomes real to people, to the point where they live it, then truth becomes unbelievable to people, and they can't live it. Now, don't get me wrong. Sunday keeping is not yet the mark of the beast. In fact, it will not be the prophesied mark of the beast until the decree goes forth causing men to worship on this false Sabbath by declaration of legislation, actual, you know, law being, you know, passed in Congress or the Senate, wherever they do it, in the House, the bill. I mean, the bill comes and then, and we'll have plenty of advanced warning. It might only be a couple of months or so. I mean, they're not going to move as fast as they did last week in regards to the Pope demanding one thing, and then within 2.5 days they did it. And what was that? Oh, yeah, the climate change thing. He came forward on Monday stating climate change. I mean, he's been doing the Vatican's been pushing climate change since they approached Al Gore in the 1980s to push it. But the declaration was put forth. Please do not send me PMs during sermons and studies. I cannot stress that enough. Okay. So anyway, going on, where did I leave off? Yeah, because when I get a PM, I think it's an emergency. And I start reading it, and then it throws me way off. Thanks. Yeah, the climate change thing. And so, yeah, the thank you, guys, for the climate, you know, let me know. But anyway, the climate change things, when he put it forth on Monday, it was clear that he was saying that this is real, even though every real scientist out there is saying it's a hoax because Al Gore messed up. He had a 50-50 chance here. If he would have picked for climate change that the Earth is cooling, well, then it would be a little bit more difficult for us to rebuke them and show them that their science is bad. But he picked it's getting warmer. So he kind of... And I honestly believe the divine intervention was involved there because of the way Al Gore had a tendency to twist scripture anyway. He, you know, like, for example, one time in... where was it? He was in a political speech, and he said that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, that for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. But Jesus actually said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He flip-flopped it. Well, that's because he's easy to manipulate by the enemy of souls. And this is why I believe that the Lord allowed... Well, he's given Satan all sorts of permission to be in his life, and so, and divine intervention was such a, I mean, we all see 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're not going to be tempted above our ability to handle it. And so the Lord blessed us with a way to further confirm with the people of God that have eyes that see, that are obedient enough to open up their Bibles on a regular basis and study them and see that, yeah, you know, what they're saying in the world is wrong, especially when it comes to this climate change thing. I mean, that's just normal. The planet has a history of going up and down with the weather patterns. It's just normal. But there's other prophecies that declare that they're going to have to use the calamities that are happening in the world as a way to say it's our fault. And we already know what they did back in 2006, I believe it was, when that tsunami, or 2005, the Christmas tsunami. They said that the reason for that tsunami is because people weren't going to church on Sundays. So they've already tested the waters. We already know what's going to happen. But we're going to have a little bit of advance notice. It's not going to be like what happened last week, where Monday the Pope says climate change is real, and then he says it on Monday afternoon, and then Wednesday afternoon, which is actually only 2 days. I said three for some weird reason, because most people see it that way. On Wednesday, had a quick meeting, and within moments, the entire Senate agreed that climate change is real. It's not a hoax. And this included people that were contrary against it. Leaders in the Senate that were declaring for years, decades, in fact, that it's all a hoax. they somehow changed their story and agreed 100% with everybody else that it's real. So, in other words, they want to keep their jobs. It's no longer like it was in the infancy of this nation to do the right thing. It's now what keeps their pockets full of money. So the time is going to come when this day, you know, the Sabbath will be the test that every man, woman, and child on earth will have to deal with. But that time has not yet come. So don't worry about your dead loved ones that went to their graves thinking that Sunday was the Sabbath. No one has yet received the mark of the beast. In fact, none are condemned in this manner until they have had the light that comes during the loud cry, wherein they clearly understand that they have an obligation to keep the fourth commandment. They clearly understand it. There's not going to be any doubt in their minds. It is only then that the line will be clearly drawn between the spurious Sabbath of Rome and the true Sabbath of God. After hearing the truth at this time, those who choose to continue in transgression will then receive the mark of the beast and be forever damned. And they're already setting it up to where they're trying their best to make us look unbelievable. I just put an article on the site yesterday, I believe. I might even make a video in regards to this because now they're calling us a subculture. They're actually talking about us. Because the guy that calls, and it was a rabbi, I believe, or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I don't know if it was a rabbi now. But anyway, they're calling real Christians, well, first they called us fanatics or fundies. The Catholic Church called us fundies for the longest time, or fundamentalists. Then they call us conservatives. Then they call us fanatics, legalists, cults. And recently they started calling us haters because we don't agree with Allah being God or the homosexual marriage thing, even though we show no hatred. If you watched my homosexual marriage video, you'll see that I blame the Christians for the reason the homosexuals are so angry. The Christians did not act like Jesus at all to the homosexuals that were in sin. I was just talking to somebody on the phone this morning that called me in regards to this thing because he's wondering why, you know, it is the way it is, especially with these places where you try to buy cakes for your weddings. And I told him, I says, look, if the Christians would have treated the homosexuals in the way Jesus would have treated them, we wouldn't have this problem. I mean, sin is sin. It doesn't matter. Why aren't they picketing, drinking establishments like bars with big signs that say God hates drunkards? They don't. Or God hates this or that or whatever. Sin is sin. Well, the main reason they don't picket because God hates drunkards is because most Christians drink. They don't want to feel like hypocrites, even though they are. And so there's a reason for the madness. So, and by the way, the fact that we keep the true Sabbath suggests we are, or at the very least, our children will be the ones that go forth to proclaim this long prophesied loud cry. I believe, I hope and pray it's in my lifetime, but we're not date setters. You know, and yes, it has already begun to go forth, and this is why some of us are here today. But the unjust laws of man have not yet gone forth to give the message we preach the concrete reality some need to see it as. Yes, we share with many that and those seeds are going to be watered. Perhaps when that day comes, we will see many join us in this final task. But like I was talking about last night, the majority of us that come to church now that believe the way we do, we can see that as the core. That the Lord's going to work with to help the new ones that come in later better understand the truth to go forth to be part of that Gideon band. So some of us are in here for the long run. And I praise God for the young people because it's really amazing to see young people in today's age actually have a desire to want to please the Lord. But there's no mistake there out of the mouths of babes, right? And he needs people like David or Joseph who have been brought up in an early age to really want to please the Lord. And they could even be brought up in a Catholic household and want to please the Lord. Later on, he'll give them, you know, the nuts and bolts of the truth. I mean, if you're in a Catholic household that's devout like the one I experienced, you'll be introduced to Jesus. It'll be another Jesus, of course, but at least you'll know what his name is. You'll know there's a wooden cross. And you'll know, you know, certain basic realities of Christianity. And if you truly desire to please him rather than bow down in front of a statue, well, then the Lord can use you, and he'll work with you later on in life. I mean, so. But hopefully that we'll see many more coming into the truth in the days ahead, because we know by studying prophecy that these last few prophetic fulfillments are going to happen at a very rapid pace. And the reason they do that is because of the quote-unquote subculture. They're trying their best to keep, you know, to catch us off guard. Because they know when we go forth and proclaim the truth the way this that we do, you know, a month or two or three or 4 months later, they're having a real big difficulty, because as small as we are, truth is powerful. That's why they got to speed up their act. They don't want to give us the opportunity. This is why the media is controlled. That's the fastest way that they can get their message out there. But what they fail to realize is God is behind ours. Sure, they may have the technology and the media and the satellites and the television stations to broadcast all their folderol. But again, we have God, and he knows how to get what we preach into the ears of those that need to hear it. You don't need a TV signal to do that. You could just be walking through Walmart talking to your spouse about something. You say something, and someone that's like on the other aisle on the other side that you don't even know is standing there hears you, because your voice goes through the cereal boxes, comes out by the potato chips on the other side where they're at, and they hear something that you say that literally waters a seed that somebody else planted in them decades earlier. And that person from that point forward starts seeking Christ because of something that you were talking with your spouse about. So he doesn't need a TV station to do that. But still, this is why they're speeding things up. They know our method is a little slower. It's just like with natural methods for healing someone. It could take a few months for certain healings to come, but then they're permanent. Whereas with the AMA drugs and stuff like that, yeah, you might get an immediate reaction within a couple of days, but then you're going to have to deal with all these crazy side effects that's going to make them, you know, life a little bit even more difficult, or even less in length because of the toxins that they put in those. I mean, we all know about the side effects. Everybody's seen the commercials, you know. And praise God, we got ad blockers on computers now, because I used to hate having to sit through some of the commercials to look for articles for the website, because it's amazing. The commercial is 90 seconds, sometimes 120 seconds long, but the commercial, the first 10 to 20 seconds is about the drug that they're trying to sell. And the remainder, 90 seconds left, is all about the side effects. That's annoying, because I wonder, it's obvious people are buying this stuff. Otherwise, why would they continue to flood the market? So keep those people in your prayers. That too was prophesied, by the way, and the Vatican just got caught a couple, 3 years ago. I got a page on the website all about it called Big Pharma, where the Vatican, and we've been saying that for decades, but just last year, I think it was, or maybe the year before, that they got caught with Canada being involved in the global distribution of these toxic drugs we see in America that are distributed by the AMA, or the American Medical Association. So, but anyway, for now, just look around, and you will see that some of the lost are being well surrounded by the lies to guarantee their damnation. And this is why you see some of them coming into the church and then leaving and then coming in and leaving. They're trying their best to pull the people away from Christ. And the ones that are already out, are the devil's doing everything he can to prevent them from coming in. So keep praying. It's working. It's absolutely. And if it wasn't working, why are they talking about a subculture out there? I mean, think about that. He says, oh, I don't know where that just came from. Oh, anyway, but yeah, for them to actually touch on subculture, which they're actually talking about, are real Christians, because he actually defines it by saying, we're the ones that don't go along with the mainstream Christianity, which embraces Allah and homosexuality and women pastors and all this other stuff. So they're literally talking about us. Not just us in this one particular church, by the way. We're not that arrogant. We understand that the Lord's going to have us scattered throughout the world, so that when the latter rain falls more abundantly, being strategically scattered all over the planet, again, without a TV station. Think about that. Some of us are thousands of miles apart with the exact same truth. And when that latter rain falls on us more abundantly, oh, man. It's just like that one video I saw, and I'll close with this, that one video I saw about that false prophet and fake healer not faith healer, fake healer. What was that guy with all the tattoos and the piercings all over his face? What's that guy's name again? But I watched the video again last week, seven or eight, I think it's seven, pastors stand up in the middle of his, Todd Bentley, thank you. Yeah, seven pastors stand up, and this went on for like maybe a half an hour or so, like every time they stood up and started rebuking him boldly in front of everybody in their church, with all those hundreds and hundreds of people there, they'd of course pull the guy out, and then 20 seconds after that guy is yanked out of the building, another one stood up. And so that went on for like a half an hour. Now, picture the loud cry. Or even picture the Inquisitions with the hundreds of millions of Christians that were being killed. This is why the Vatican, you know, realized it wasn't working. You kill one Christian, 10 more pop up. Because it's that evil what they were doing. The Christians can't, it's just like Jeremiah said, it's a fire that burns within. You can't shut your mouth. You want to shut up sometimes because you feel it's just too overbearing, but you can't. It's that fire that burns within. You have to go forth and proclaim it. So, hope and pray that you were blessed. Be back in a minute.